Okay. We'll continue on, kind of where we were last week, I guess. And Paul's been writing to the saints in the Galatian churches, and they had false teachers come in there, you know, and teaching false doctrine. And it's strange how it kind of appeals to man to think, you know, you can do something, or you got to do something. The point these false teachers were saying, you know, what Paul said may be okay, but, you know, you got to do more. There's more that you got to add. You know, except a man be circumcised, he cannot be saved. And along some of these other lines. And I hear a lot similar to that, actually, in this day and age. And Paul addressed all those issues and addressed the false teachings and the false things they said about him and all these other various things. And he's come to the point here in chapter 3 that he's asking them to reflect upon their own experience. You know, that it's like, what God's done to you, what God's done in you, what the Holy Spirit gave you, I mean, how are you going to bring that to completion by something you do in your own flesh? You know, it was all of God. It came from God. How are you going to finish that up? And, you know, the answer is, you know, it's all of God, and it's all of grace. And that's the important thing that Paul's addressing here, and that's why he's so concerned with that. And the point is, you know, they're not under that old law anymore. That doesn't mean we're free to sin, free to live, you know, like the world or like the devil. In fact, it's just the opposite. You know, what we'll do under grace should surpass what the law requires. And this comes to mind as I'm speaking these words. I'll share it again. Some of you have heard it many times, but it's kind of like what the law says about, you know, everybody knows Forrest, don't you? You know Forrest out there. You know what would happen? If I didn't feed Forrest, they'd put me in jail. There is a law on the books that says, you know, if you don't mistreat your animals, if you don't feed them or whatever, you can be arrested for animal cruelty. And of course, that's why I feed Forrest, because I'm afraid you're going to come arrest me. No. You see? There's a higher motivation than the law. We feed Forrest because we love him. Sometimes I use this illustration of our kids too, but we'll leave it at Forrest this time. But I feed Forrest because I love him. That law has no effect on me. I'm not under that law. Because what I do isn't because of the law. And what I do, especially what Diane does, it goes beyond the law, you know, as far as bestowing benefits. And so the fact that, you know, some folks, there are these two sides of the issue. Some folks say, oh, we're not under the law. Free from the law, happy condition. I'm free to serve, you know. I'm free to be what God intended for me to be. And really, whatever we see in the law, by and large, you know, the Christian, and I say by and large only because of some of the, you know, some of the particular things that apply to Israel that were there just to distinguish them. But the Christian, as far as the moral law goes, will surpass that in his daily life, and he ought to. And that's what Paul here is trying to impress upon the saints in Galatia. He said, you know, what did you receive from the Holy Spirit? And why do you have to add anything to it? And then Paul saying, reflect on that. And you'll see how false it is what these folks are trying to teach you. And in particular, Paul's speaking about, you know, how you finish. I mean, you're gonna start in the spirit and finish in the flesh? You know, how's that going to work out for you? That's not going to work out. And so it's important to finish, and to finish strong, and to finish in the Spirit. It's not really, you know, how you started, but how you finished. And that verse I used kind of to reflect on this in 2 Timothy 4, where Paul wrote to young Timothy, he said, I am now ready to be offered, The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And so it's important to finish well and to continue on by the grace of God. And we can only do that by the grace of God. You can't do that in the power of your flesh anyway. And so we've been reflecting a little bit on, as a church, as an individual somewhat, you know, how God's blessed us in the 31 plus years that, you know, we've been ministering like this. We've been, by the grace of God, continuing on. And we looked at some specific things. And now, why are we still here? 31 years, why are we still continuing on? Number one, because God's called us to this ministry. I mean, God's called us to the ministry, just like he called Ezekiel. He said, Ezekiel, go talk to the children of Israel. And he said, but I want you to know something. They may not like what you have to say. But he said, I've called you. And he said, you need to go and to be about that. And the second reason we continue on, because I believe if the Lord's called us to this ministry, we couldn't really quit if we wanted to. And we talked about some folks who tried. The examples we see in scriptures, I'm not sitting in judgment of them. I sometimes feel like they did, I'm sure. But Jeremiah, you know, the time came in his ministry. He said, these folks are nasty. They're not treating me right. They're throwing me in prison. They're digging a hole and throwing me in it. I quit. And Jeremiah said his word was burned within me as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing. And I could not stay. I couldn't quit. We saw how the Lord talked to Peter, said, feed my sheep. Peter, at one point in his ministry, disappointed in himself more than anything else. So, okay, I go fishing. You know, that's how I started. I'll just go back to that. Got something to fall back on, you know. The Lord said, Peter, go feed my sheep. And then Jonah, of course, who tried to quit and became fish food. Now, if God's called us to do something, he'll bring us to the conclusion, to the completion of that thing. So we continue on because God's called us, because we really couldn't quit if we wanted to. Number three, because personally, as a husband, as a father, as a grandfather, and as a pastor to the flock that the Lord's assembled here, I have to give an account for those things. I have to shepherd that. Paul wrote to young Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:8 and said, if any man provide not for his own, especially for those of his own household, he hath denied the faith. It is worse than an infidel. You know, that applies to physical things. It applies to spiritual things. Some folks get so spiritual, they forget, you know, the other aspects of that. I know, well, when I was at cemetery, one fellow there, I mean, his family, they were like, you know, living on the dregs and living on essentially the good graces of other folks, you know, so he could go to seminary. And he was like, well, God will take care of my family. No, God puts you there to take care of your family. You see, sometimes folks get that attitude and God will take care of us, and God will provide for us, but God puts us in places to do things. And so Paul had to write young Timothy and said, if any man provide not for his own, especially for his own household, he denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So it's important to continue on, to discharge those responsibilities that the Lord's called us to as husbands and fathers and pastors. We have that obligation. The fourth thing, if we were to just kind of close the doors and quit, we would be sinning against God's faithfulness of the past. I mean, God has provided everything in the past. He's met all our needs. Not always in the way we thought he would. I know when the Lord sent through Hurricane Andrew to blow us up here. But, you know, the Lord oversaw all those things. And I can look back on it now and understand some of it. I'm sure I don't understand it all. But God's been faithful and has provided every step of the way and everything we ever needed. Deuteronomy, the Lord said, Deuteronomy 2, verse 7 says, "For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing." I mean, God gave the children of Israel everything they needed every step along the way. And yet, there they go and build a golden calf, I mean, sinning against the faithfulness of God. And we dare not, do that. God's promised to be with us and provide for us. Philippians 4:19, My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So we continue on, for these things. And number five, that's a new point we've gotten to finally. We continue on because even if it be a small number, even if it be two or three, the Lord said where two or three are gathered together in my name. Even if it be two or three, there is, by the grace of God, a remnant. There is a remnant. And really, when we look at it closely throughout all of history, it's always been just a remnant. Maybe it's not as big a remnant now. I don't know. But it's a remnant. There's still a few that by the grace of God won't bend the knee to Baal. That won't go along to get along. That won't compromise with the world. That won't adopt, the new interpretations of biblical standards and of biblical doctrines. I don't even know who these people are because I don't have all cable stuff and anything, but I see there's a fairly young couple. To most of us, we would call them young couple. That they do some kind of a home fixing television show on one of the networks. They buy old houses and fix them. And they have their own show. And they do well, and I guess they don't particularly make it a big issue of their faith, but they are evidently faithful Christians as far as I can tell. And it just so happened somebody found out that they attended a church that didn't embrace the new LGBTQ doctrines. And there's an uproar that these folks are to be deprived of their livelihood and their living because they attend a church that believes the book. They attend a church that believes what God said. What a shock. But that's what it's come to. But there's a remnant. And what will be more and more, the ones that don't embrace it will be careful not to say anything about it. We see that in many areas of truth and the scriptures. And sometimes you can corner somebody. And I could do it about a lot of things, but I know sometimes you can corner some preachers and all about the doctrines of grace that the theological world calls Calvinism. And I've talked to some of those folks sometimes, and I say, well, I believe those things, but I can't preach them. What? I believe those things, but I can't preach them. Why? Well, I guess it would cost them too much. Now, there's a remnant. And the sheep, as the Lord told Peter, need to be fed. They need to be fed with the truth. And adopting all these modern interpretations of standards and doctrines and these other things will not sustain the true sheep. It can entertain the goats. Spurgeon talked about that. He said the time would come that, pulpits would be filled with clowns that would be entertaining the goats rather than feeding the sheep. And by and large, unfortunately, I think we've come to see that day. But the Lord is pleased of that remnant. And I'm sure it's not just the handful that's here. There's some other remnants. Sometimes, you know, we can get the Elijah syndrome and say, well, just me, I'm the only one left, Lord. Everybody else, well, sometimes it seems like that, don't it? You know, but Lord said, well, I got 10,000 that haven't met the need of bail. You don't worry about them. You worry about doing your business. But there's a remnant. And I have gotten beyond the point where I try to add folks to the church. Because what I might add, it ain't worth having. What I might add, you know, you got to deal with that stuff. But what the Lord adds, that's what sticks. In Acts 2, we read there, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I tell you, the folks that Greg Wilson adds, they aren't worth spit, you know, and it'll eventually show. But the ones the Lord adds, that's the real stuff, you see. And so there's that remnant that we continue on. You know, God said, as I alluded to in the past, in 1 Kings 19, verse 18, the Lord said, I have left me, I said 10,000, see, I just got ahead of myself, 7,000. There weren't so many as I was thinking. I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So we get that syndrome and says, you know, it's only me, it's only us, and there's a remnant out there. I suppose in this day and age, because of some of the things that are available right now, you know, on internet and things, we find and can touch bases with some of those folks that we would never have known about. Like I mentioned today, the Almeidas there in Brazil that contacted us. I had no idea they existed. He'd been listening to my sermons. And they say, well, we're coming to the U.S. for an air show, and we want to come visit with you. And sure enough, they did. And many missionaries I've known, and some of them that have visited with us here, like, you know, Brother Pugh, Brother Ellis, Brother Kraft, you know, these folks that, well, Brother Kraft contacted me, I think, before there was an internet. I knew him from way back. But a lot of these folks, they, you know, they knew us because of our little webpage and the internet ministry. So the Lord's allowed us in this day and age maybe to know a few more of that remnant than we may have not known in previous days. And yet the Lord said there's 7,000 that haven't bent the knee to Baal. And so, you know, how this faithful remnant, how can we just fold up the shingles and break fellowship with them? And the remnant that's particularly here physically, how can we do that and just, well, we'll just let them flounder, you know, leave them to their own devices. Paul wrote to the saints in Rome, in Romans 11, verse 5, even so, then at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There's a remnant according to the election of grace. Not a remnant because enough folks decided to do something. No, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. God has his people. God has his remnant. And I don't know what they all look like. I don't know who they all are. And that's not my business, really. My business, by the grace of God, is to proclaim his truth. And Paul understood that. Now, Paul continued on. Paul, oh, I could, you know, say, oh, we lost the church meeting house, and we've done this and that, and we've lost members, and we've lost support, and let me tell you what, Paul dealt with some things that I can't even imagine. He was imprisoned. He was beat with whips. He was stoned. And ultimately, Rome took his head off. Now, I haven't had to resist under blood yet in those things. But Paul did. And Paul didn't quit. He continued on. Paul said, he wrote again to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. He said this, I endure all things for the elect's sake. I do all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory. Now the Lord was using Paul to bring light where he had already given life, to bring light that they might see and hear and embrace the gospel of their salvation, which was accomplished in eternity. And Paul, in that, says, I endure all for the elect's sake, the elect, the remnant. And so by the grace of God, we continue on because of God's remnant. And a sixth thing that causes us to continue on is the reality. Brethren, the time's going to come. We're all going to give an account. We're all going to stand before God. Now, my salvation's taken care of. Christ died in my stead. But we're going to give an account of the deeds that we have done in the flesh. And now those deeds are by the grace of God, but we're still accountable. We're still responsible. And we read over in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone they receive the things done in his body, whether good or bad. Paul's talking of Christians there, not of the reprobates. We're going to stand before God. We're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And what I can recall in the back of my brain, you know, as a former Marine Corps officer, I can remember having my heels locked in front of the colonel's desk and giving an account of the deeds that I'd done in the flesh. Now, the colonel back there, he didn't know everything. Sometimes he thought some things happened that didn't happen. God knows everything. But that colonel back there didn't. I remember, don't get off too much, but I had one colonel that threatened. I was an officer in the Marine Corps, and I had a colonel threaten to have me in leg irons before the day was over. And then NIS called and wanted to talk to me. And I said, I'm not talking to anybody. They were like, why wouldn't you talk to us? I said, because a colonel just threatened to have me in leg irons, see? And then they really insulted me. They said, well, they were going to offer me immunity. Well, I hadn't done anything. I didn't need immunity. Finally, this is awesome. I talked to those people because I knew I hadn't done anything wrong. I probably should have still made them give me immunity, but I didn't. I didn't have anything to worry about. But when we stand before God, He already knows everything. And we're going to give an account of the deeds that were done in the flesh. I'm going to give an account to my Lord. Now suppose I were to abandon my post in the face of the enemy. You know, in the heat of battle, I were just to throw up my hands and quit. I would have an accounting to give, wouldn't I? I would have some explaining to do, but there was no explanation. God had been faithful. God had provided. So the time's coming that we're all going to stand before the Lord and we're going to give an account of the deeds that were done in the flesh. And sure, the time may come that the Lord may lead us in a different direction or may call me home and take away my ability to speak. How minor that thing is anyway. But you know, those things may come, but until then, He's called us to something. We best accomplish it. We best not quit in the face of the enemy, because we're going to give an account. We're going to have our heels locked before the Lord. And if you read about the judgment seat of Christ, you know, all those rotten things are going to be burned up. It says wood, hay, stubble. You know, and the rest remains. So, in some way, it's a blessing. You know, getting rid of all that junk. And I'm going to have a load of junk. Maybe you all won't. But I have a load of junk. It'll get burnt up. Be gone forever. Won't. It reminds me of the episode between, you know, General Lee and Jeb Stuart there at Gettysburg when Stuart decided, you know, he was going to do one of his flamboyant rides around the enemy, and he lost contact with General Lee. He was supposed to be the eyes and ears of the army, but General Lee had no idea where the Yankees were and what was happening. And finally, when Jeb Stuart showed up several days later, you know, Lee took him to task, kind of like the judgment seat, and then Stuart got all flustered, and he took his sword off, and he said, "Here, I take my sword, I'll quit." And Lee said, "Oh, we don't have time for that. We'll not speak of this anymore." And that's the way it'll be with the Lord. You know, we're going to go before the judgment seat, and then it'll all be water under the bridge. But I don't want to have to stand there and give an account of having quit in the face of the enemy, having done things that I knew He wouldn't call for us to do. And so, by the grace of God, we continue on. And it kind of comes back. I have that saying, you know, sometimes you can do things and get results. You know, you can run buses and tape $10 bill under one of the seats. You can load up a bus for kids because one of them thinks he's going to find a $10 bill under the seat. Or I've seen some of these bus ministries where bus captains say, "Well, if you fill up the bus today," and I was at a church that did this one, then the bus captain will swallow a goldfish. Or places where the preacher says, you know, if you get so many folks in church today, then you could cut off my tie. Or you can put a pie in a pastor's face. Or you can... You know, you can do all these things, but what have you accomplished? You can compromise and build up, quote, you know, a ministry, but what have you done? And it all comes back to this one thing. You can do all that stuff. You can get all these kind of accomplishments in the world's eyes, the success of the world, but then you die. And then what? It's going to come down to that. See? But then you die. And then what? some folks will say, well, I did all these wonderful things in your name. And the Lord says, I'm going to say, I never knew you. So it's important to keep those things in mind, to realize we're going to give an account, and so we continue on. 1 John 3, verse 2. The apostle wrote this. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. John said, you know, we're not what we're going to be. We are the sons of God, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. I mean, we haven't attained yet. We haven't arrived. But when he comes, we're going to be like him, for we'll see him as he is. And then he says this, you know, because some folks get all caught up in eschatology. And I'm not saying eschatology is unimportant, but, you know, the last things and what's going to happen when, and the order and the timing and all these other things. And they get so caught up and serious in that, and yet some of them that get the most caught up in that, and some of them that turned whole ministries into that, how do they live? Does it make a difference in the way they live? You can see some folks talking about the Lord's coming back again, and they're living like the devil. Do you believe that they really think the Lord's going to come back again when they're living like that? And that's what John says here. And every man that hath this hope in him, that the Lord's coming, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I mean, if you really believe the Lord's going to come back, is coming, you'll live like it. You see? And if you don't live like it, regardless of what you say and all your eschatologies in line and you're pre this and pre that and you know all the, and you got all the stuff down, if it doesn't make a difference in the way you live, you don't believe that. It's just talk. So the time's coming, we'll give an account of the deeds that are done in the flesh. Well, old Baptist preacher R.G. Lee had a sermon he used to preach. It's world famous still. His sermon was Payday Someday. Payday Someday. Say, well, you can put it off, you can put it off, but there's going to be payday someday. We're going to stand and give an account. Now, the psalmist said this, Psalm 73, verse 2. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So, you know, I got to looking around and I thought, what do I get out of living like a Christian? What do I get? Look at the way these folks, how they live and what they get. These wicked people. For there's no bands in their death, and their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. And so I looked around and, you know, the wicked, the evil, the schemers, the compromisers, they seem to do pretty good. They got these great big crystal cathedrals. They've got these, you know, nice fancy church. They got all that stuff. And what do I get? And back in Psalm 73, and I'm just going to skip down the 12th verse, he said this, Behold, These are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long, I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. You know, I looked around and I can't dare speak this because it would be offending, you know, to those who have stood, but it was painful. And then the psalmist says this, verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Yeah. Payday Sunday. I looked around the way the world's going and who prospers and who doesn't. Who seems to get ahead and who doesn't. But then I went to the sanctuary of God and I understood their end. No one escapes that. There's payday someday. You die, and then what? Till I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. So, it's more important now than ever, I believe, that we continue on by the grace of God. I got one more point, and I'll get to that next week and finish up this little excursus. See, next week, oh, then I'll probably have a special Christmas message for Christmas Day. And, some folks won't be happy, but it'll be the truth. And, yeah. Anyway, that's a whole nother. Well, it kind of all ties into this, doesn't it? You know, proclaiming the truth to the remnant. And the rest of them, they're going to say, that ain't for me. That ain't what I want to hear. You know? Anyway, let's take our hymnals. And let's turn to page number 149. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. 149. That's interesting. Some of these churches, they got this Christmas as their high holy day, and yet I'm hearing more and more about a lot of churches. They're not going to beat on Christmas because it falls on a Sunday, you know. How is it such a high holy day then? You know? Well, it's an abomination is what it is, but we'll talk more about that as we go on. Page number 149. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us, much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, hast brought us thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear, oh, hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still.
Father, we thank you for this day, for each one that you brought here. Lord, we pray your hand upon them that you might guide and direct in their lives, that you might, Lord, conform us each to the image of your Son. Father, we pray for grace to stand. Lord, we can enumerate all the reasons that we ought to, and yet, Lord, we know without your sustaining power and grace, we can't and we won't. Lord, just as we required your grace to be saved, we require your grace to finish well. Lord, I pray that it might be said of us, as of your servant, Paul, that we fought the good fight, that we've kept the faith. Father, thank you for that love that spanned eternity, that was shed abroad upon your people before they were. Lord, and even when you knew what we would be. Father, we pray again for those that need your healing hand. Pray, Lord, for those who stand behind pulpits and proclaim your truths. Father, we thank you for that faithful remnant, that remnant that is by grace. Lord, thank you for our Savior. Thank you for his all-sufficient atoning death. And we pray in his precious name. Amen.